papers ago. What I'm going to cover today, I'm going to go through some definitions because our language has changed. People have to understand all these words that they use, what they mean. I'm going to go through a timeline and pretty much a few other things. I'm going to mostly cover systems dynamics and general systems theory, total quality management, and diversity. I think those are the most important things. This is what affects our workplace now. It's also the same mindset our schools use because our schools are training our children to participate in the workplace. And I've got some examples I'm hoping will be kind of exciting and you'll understand a little bit more about this process. But for definitions, we hear the term participatory democracy. In education, as children have the same voice as parents, consensus of the group defines the facts. Children are trained to accept outcomes. It's also known as collaborative classroom, building community, group grade, child-centered classroom. So when you hear that at your school board meetings, you'll understand what those mean. Again, in the workplace, this means adults participate in a facilitated team. Consensus of the group defines the facts. Relationship is more important than truth. Total quality management and workforce facilitated teaming is used to break down the position. Diversity policies are used to weaken position. The position-oriented employees as the Christians. Tolerance, old definition, is the capacity for or the practice of recognizing and respecting the beliefs and practices of others. The new definition is the practice of recognizing and accepting the beliefs and practices of others as equal to your own. Again, democracy, government, it's the government by consensus. Felt needs of the population are satisfied regardless of what the law says. It's accomplished by surveys, polls, or town hall facilitated meetings. It's also known as building community and community. So when you hear those terms, you'll understand what that means. It's kind of important. Total quality management is based on feedback loops, which I'll get into in-depth explanation of later. Surveys are very important. And as you probably notice, every time you buy something, you have a survey. If you go to participate in anything, you have a survey on whether you liked it or not. It's a way to get you participating in the process or feeling like you're part of it. It's a relationship method. And we have a definition of paradigm. The old definition is to compare an example that serves as a pattern or model. It comes from a Latin word. New definition is a change or pattern in the way we perceive and act on ideas and concepts. It became a human relations term. Lifelong learning, we hear that all the time in the workplace and also in education. It's acquiring new knowledge and facts during the course of one's life. That was the old definition of it. The new definition is facts change, learn to learn. New knowledge is gathered from synthesis of the group process. Throughout one's life, many paradigms exist. Constant re-indoctrination of governmental, politically correct thought. Systems dynamics or systems theory. We have closed systems. I'll explain the difference. It's important to understand there is a difference. Closed systems gave birth to open systems, but it's an engineering term. It's a study of mechanical or electrical systems as a whole operational process within a linear system. Being able to control systems by adjusting variables within the system. I'll get into quite a bit of detail on that. And we have general systems theory, which is open systems. That's relating to the human being. It's a social science term. The study of the interaction of all systems, linear and nonlinear, open and closed, with feedback loops to adjust system performance and outcomes. Very similar to the closed system, except now it's dealing with how humans react to one another. Incorporate social feedback loops to adjust open systems such as human interaction. It's also known as systems thinking. Group dynamics. It's a term coined in 1939 by Ronald Lippitt and Kurt Lewin from the National Training Labs. It describes psychological interaction of groups. Old definition of diversity is the condition of being diverse. New definition of diversity. And I have slash deviancy because now the words are actually being used together. It's a statistical process of identifying groups for marketing potential and leveraging or manipulating groups to achieve change. accepting all differences equal regardless of God's law. It uses group dynamic theory to manipulate the groups. Term change agent. It's a facilitator responsible for removing position of the group. Changes position to consensus. The term originally ran across it was in human relations and curriculum change from 1950. And these were the founders of National Training Labs. The old definition of consensus was general agreement. Again, it was an older word from a Latin origin. New definition of consensus is group solidarity and sentiment and belief. Position is suppressed for relationship. It requires full community for involvement. Old definition of team, a group organized to work together, each having a specialized task. Outcome of the team is measured by a tangible product. And I'll be explaining the difference between the older type teams and the new team organizations. New definition is a group of cross-functional, diverse, facilitated participants who have, all have an equal input, where the process of the team is measured by the dynamics of the group rather than the product, where consensus is the product. Total quality management. It's a system philosophy which concludes that if all elements within a process are understood, they can become controlled and improved. This includes human elements. And TQM is a catalyst for change. Here's a timeline. I got this from a book and kind of adapted it to this. 1920 to 1930, social psychology begins to study organizational behavior. 1938, we have Kurt Lewin and Ron Lippitt study democracy and boys clubs. These were later the folks that started the National Training Labs. 1940, the National Training Lab founders Kurt Lewin, Ron Lippitt, Leland Bradford, and Ken Benet meet for the first time. 1946, the Connecticut Race Relations leads to invention of the T Group and the founding of National Training Labs. 1947, Ron Lippitt, Kurt Lewin join with Douglas McGregor. 1984, Edgar Sheen studies brainwashing in Korea. And I'm going through this because this timeline is kind of important of where we get the psychology in the modern workplace. And these were all the folks that essentially packaged the consensus process that we're now dealing with. 1957, Douglas McGregor presents Theory X and Theory Y, which was a complete change in the older hierarchy of management style. 1962, J. Forrester develops industrial dynamics concepts and systems modeling language. So we're starting to have the birth of the general systems theory. 1960s, Willis Harmon and others involved in psychedelic research at a private institution near Stanford University. He was taking business leaders out to the desert and doing LSD, and they came up with this wonderful management method from that. In mid-1960s, Eric Trist and others developed concepts of industrial democracy and permanent turbulence. He was from the Tavistock Institute, which is a sister organization, National Training Lab, which is located in England. 1968, Minority T Group participants staged first race-oriented confrontation at National Training Lab. This was the birth of diversity training. 1969, the Club of Rome, J. Forrester applies systems dynamics to limits of growth. A lot of these people are still very active in what they're doing, and they're older than the hills. 1974, the Stanford Research Institute issues a Changing Image of Man report and sets out a new paradigm for society, foreshadowing the New Age movement and targets corporations as millennial agents. 1971 through 79, Chris Argyas develops the theory of action, which is organizational learning. That's kind of an important term to remember right now because I'm going to hit on organizational learning through a couple parts of this presentation. Here's some information I gleaned from the Department of Defense, their training manuals. And within their training manuals, they have different sections in there where they have authors and leaders in the business making quotes. And I'll be talking about Alvin Toffler, and he has a quote in the Defense Department training manuals. And in his book, Power Shift, he discusses a close relationship, knowledge, power, wealth, and the transformation of society. Marilyn Ferguson, another person I'll be talking about, is quoted in this document. American futurist, it's not so much that we're afraid of change or so in love with the old ways, but it's that place in between that we fear. It's like being between trapezes. It's Linus, when his blanket is in the dryer, there's nothing else to hold on to. She's a New Ager, by the way. Now they're talking about general systems theory within this Department of Defense document. You got to understand, Department of Defense, they produce documents which flow down to other organizations. So what they develop with government money a lot of times ends up in other businesses. So this whole mindset is actually across all the business ventures within our country. The content or subject matter of change management is drawn from psychology, sociology, business administration, economics, industrial engineering, systems engineering, and the study of human and organizational behavior. For many practitioners, these component bodies of knowledge are linked and integrated by a set of concepts and principles known as general systems theory. So they're admitting that they're actually using general systems theory in here. So change. And as this says, when the winds of change blow hard enough, the most trivial of things can turn into deadly projectiles. There's no doubt the world's changing. We have Maxwell Smart back in the 60s with the shoe phone, and now we have cell phones. We have a spaceship from Flash Gordon back in the 30s, and we have a space station now. So things become real, and things do change. Thomas S. Kuhn coined the term the paradigm shift. It was a change or pattern in the way we perceive and act on ideas and concepts. It is a philosophy of design change, so we design that change. The first paradigm, obviously, was Adam and Eve. They made the change. And from Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And we just changed that word. There is a paradigm that seems right to man. So why do we change? Well, according to Alvin Toffler, in his book, The Third Wave, the reason that we're changing is because we've had these different waves during our history. The first wave was agricultural society. Second wave is industrial revolution. And the third wave is a society based on knowledge or information. And that's why they believe that at this particular time, we need to change the way we think about things. We need to become a society of change. Here's an article from the Third Wave Contract, which was an article that was published in a couple newspapers. Is what was afoot was a droll duo of ex-Marxist Alvin Toffler and Republican Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, both posing as Thomas Jefferson back from the dead, preaching about some evolving, nebulous, revolutionary new democracy whose name keeps evolving too, from futurism to anticipatory democracy, 21st century democracy, to the third wave, to the third way. This is not to forget all the other bad names for this bad idea either, but don't laugh, it's all true. Go ask Newt Gingrich. Newt said it all, though it seems almost no one was listening. So they're actively doing this in government using this philosophy of Alvin Toffler, who was a socialist, by the way. So how do we create this culture of change? Well, first of all, we got to create a process to do it, to find a new paradigm, create a crisis, discourage absolutes, so we have to have ambiguity, create diversity or deviancy, which we're seeing plenty of that, incorporate the latest technology. We have to change the language and structure of how we think. So part of that language is we've got to understand the structure of language. We have dichotomies, and it's a division into two usually contradictory parts or opinions, the dichotomy of the one and the many. You got to understand that the dichotomies are the language of God. So if you read through the Bible, you'll understand that God always speaks in dichotomies. There's right there's wrong. And an example of that would be Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So let's look at the dichotomies. Well, the dichotomy is we have life or we have death. We have blessing or we have cursing. There are no gray zones. So in God's language, there's nothing in between.